Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
So we're here. Love is Blind, Season 6, Episode 12, Meet Me at the Altar. And boy, was this an emotional roller coaster. I feel like I've been through the ringer. I feel
Me
like I'm,
too.
Ugh, I you just know, am drained.
I have to say, I think this is the best episode of Love is Blind I've ever seen.
Really? I thought that there were some really good conversations, really pointed things that were said, but what makes it feel so good?
Oh, there well, first of all, it started out with kind of a shocking
thing
that was kind of came and went very quickly. Then you have the very emotional wedding of AD and Clay, which, I mean, the layers upon layers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was something to watch unfold.
Yes,
it was really something.
It was.
And I, you know what? I have a lot of respect for everyone in that family. Maybe not so much Trevor, but, you know, just the moms and... Even Clay, I have to say, the way that he dealt, you know, maybe he didn't deal with it the greatest, but I don't believe Clay is a bad person.
No,
at all.
He's
and
not.
He wanted to stay with her. He wanted to be with her. But anyway, I'm starting to spoil things. But anyway, that, and then you juxtapose that with the wedding of Amy and Johnny, which was just so, again, like just the... It was the layers of all the family, the deep family love and connection on both sides of the family and the way that the families came together. And it was just like, oh my gosh, like it was an emotional ride. And, you know, very compelling, you know, it wasn't like you sat a lot of times you're like, oh God, this couple, oh, this person, you know, you're just kind of cringe. I wasn't cringing at all. I was just watching these things play out.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually this episode, I tend to kind of like fast forward a little bit when they start to repeat themselves. And then this person says this, but it wasn't as formulaic as it was. I mean, there were like good conversations, good, you know, good things to watch, interesting dynamics. No, you're right. I mean, and again, nobody saw the Chelsea and Jimmy thing. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming
at all. So should we start? Should we
tell
go?
Us what
I
happened.
Didn't. Yeah. So when we last left off, Chelsea and Jimmy were at this empty fairground
amusement park. Yeah.
You know, sitting down, and Jimmy approaches her and says, "You know, hey, we haven't really talked much about what's going on. You know, are we going to get married?" And Chelsea, you know, they left that hanging, like, what will Chelsea say? And of course, we all pretty much predicted that Chelsea's going to say, yeah, I want to get married. I want to do this. And then we hear she gets into this whole thing about how she had this off day and you know, they're going back and forth. And
which
Jimmy,
day is she talking about?
I think she's
talking about the day of that fight.
Yes, okay. I think she is. And so Jimmy admits, he says, listen, I can't go to the altar. And he said, well, I don't want to get married. And what's so interesting is that, and I don't know if this is better or worse, but it sounds like he just was like, I can't go up on that. I'm not going to pretend.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go through the motions to do this, to make production happy or to make someone else happy. I just can't do this. Now, I will say, I mean, Chelsea did a lot of the same things that she's always doing in this dynamic between the two of them. I will say that I feel like Jimmy kind of set her up a little bit, because it's a little bit like saying something to someone like, hey, I haven't really talked to you. What's your feeling? How do you feel about us getting married? I think you have to sit down and say, Chelsea, I need to talk to you. You know, he knew this. He knew this when he asked that original question.
Yeah, he knew where he was going with this.
Yes.
And I wonder if this was a compromise between he and production. Because I always assumed that it was part of the contract that you have to go all the way through the motions. You have to go up to the altar. You don't have to say yes, but you've got to go through with it and give your answer. And I think he was just pushing back against that and didn't want to do it. And maybe they said, okay, well, we'll let you out of that, but you've got to do this thing where you go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that, they were doing the ice carving for their wedding. They were doing wedding stuff. They were having fun, going to the amusement park and saying, I love you. Like, and then all of a sudden he's like, well, yeah. Guess what? I don't even want to go to the altar.
Yeah.
And he even said, I think he said, I love you, but I don't know. Why are you still saying I love you? I don't know. It was so weird. And he's like, well, you know, this was the only opportunity I had to tell you, or something weird. I mean,
no, he said, well, it was a weird comment. It was that I need to say things when I feel it. And I'm like, okay, but this isn't, you didn't just sit down and look at the burgers in front of you and go, this is it. I can't do this. Like, this is how you've been feeling. And I think that it has been. And I said this, I felt like when he revealed that thing about his friend, and it had nothing to do with the information. What it had to do with this is, if I trust you with something, can I trust you with it? Mm-hmm. And that's a big part. Like, partners, you know, when you're married, especially for a long time, you tell your partner pretty much everything. There's very few things that I keep from Steve. Someone would have to directly say to me, do not tell Steve this. Like, this cannot go anywhere. And that's the only way I would do it. Otherwise, I tell him everything, like everything that happens. And I have to know that if I say to him, hey, don't say anything about this, or like, you know, this is between you and I, that he's not going to throw it back in my face. And I think that was Jimmy's problem. And I don't blame him. I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah. And he wanted to break it off the next morning. You know, he came out of the bathroom and he said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get married. And then she kind of guilt tripped him and said, well, that's what marriage is about. And it's like, but you're not married yet. You know, it's like, if you'd been married for 5 years and had a couple kids, maybe you'd fight for it. You guys have known each other 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So he wanted to do it then. She kind of bullied him back into, you know, she's very manipulative. And she really went off, you know, when he tells her, I don't even want to go to the altar, she starts getting real defensive. And
yeah. Well, she was defensive before he even said it, because when she said, oh, yeah, I know, I had an off day. And then she points out and she's like, and so did you. Her famous, like, and you, and you too. Like, she can never just take ownership in that moment of her feelings without pointing out somebody else's flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and that drives me nuts. And
she doesn't take accountability for anything.
Yeah. There was a whole thing about Jimmy said he was upset about how Chelsea was saying that Johnny and Amy were the strongest couples or something. He said that. I feel like it was weirdly edited. Because he would say something and then the response from Chelsea wouldn't make a lot of sense. I'm like, is this edited? But yeah, she just started getting into that whole thing. You know, why did you propose? Why were we picking out songs? Why didn't you say anything to me earlier? And And I don't think that's really fair when people throw back in each other's faces like, well, why did you propose? And why did you do this? And why did you do that? I think this is what we're seeing with Clay as well, which is this, is that you sign up for something and you think it's going to be one way, or it's going to look this way, or you think you're going to feel a certain way. And the thing is that, yeah, people's feelings change, you know, when these very intense things happen and you're getting to know somebody, things change, things are different. And that whole thing about why did you propose? Like, these people shouldn't be proposing to begin with. The whole thing is convoluted, right? So why do you throwing it back in his face? It's right. Like, how was he to know?
But yeah, that's the thing. Even he was obviously willing to go through the experiment. It was an experiment. And you know what? You can't force people to do things. I mean, in an experiment, it either works out or it doesn't work out. I mean, people are free to leave. You can't keep someone hostage in a relationship. So yeah, like I believe that, well, except for the people who are scamming, who are in relationships already and stuff, everybody else came on the show, I believe, with good intentions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were going to give it a try. Obviously, it does not work for everybody. And the fact that this show got one good relationship, a really good, solid relationship out of it, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the type of experiment that it is and how unlikely it is and how difficult it is.
Yeah. You know? I mean, listen, I think they have a better track record than The Bachelor or something like that, or maybe probably about the same. And
probably
hasn't been on as long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I especially now seeing some of the stuff with Jessica that's coming out in the press. Apparently, Jimmy said that the last date he had with Jessica, she was really, really mean to him, like really mean. And so I think, you know, I think that he was sort of painted unfairly, or we painted him unfairly in the beginning. I do think he was very earnest about this. I think he did want this to work. But that's the thing. If somebody within the first month of your relationship, if you can't trust them then, where do you go from here? It's so early in the relationship. If you can't trust that person, then where do you go? And I think Jimmy has more than enough reason to be to say, okay, this isn't going to work. I just thought he was going to wait till the altar. I really did.
Yeah. So he must have really been miserable. He really must have been like, I can't spend one more day.
Well, you know, Chelsea said something interesting too, because when she got into that whole thing of like, you lied to me, you called me clingy. You know, she said I've been through the ringer walking on eggshells because I can't tell you how I really feel. And it's like, huh? I mean, this is the problem is that if she's walking on eggshells with him and she feels like she can't really tell him how she really feels, why do you want to be in this relationship? Right. Chelsea, number one. And number two, is it possible that maybe you hold all of these things in and then you blow up, which is what a lot of people do. They hold it all in. They try to be the perfect person for this. And then it all blows up.
Yeah, she has a temper. And that's just what we see on TV. I can't imagine what she's like. And look how she was yelling at him when the cameras were there. And she's like, you fucked her. You know, I mean, wow, I think when no cameras are around, no one else is around, I'm sure she's,
oof. Well, and then she said, the other thing she said was, she's like, and we're going to break up after one argument? I'm like, one argument? It's been one long argument.
You've been arguing this since day one.
Since the DR, honey. You know, you've been arguing from the beginning. It's not one, it's one continuous. And then she erupts, like, and she gets into this whole thing about, like, I think it's so unfair that you spend all this time with your female friends and I can't comment on it because you want to protect your friend's, you know, reputation. And it's like, no, Chelsea, you're not getting this. Like, that's not edit at all. You could have approached him a while ago and said this, you know, hey, can we talk about this? This makes me feel a little uncomfortable or whatever this is. But he's, you know, this is about, again, it's back to that whole Sarah Ann thing of like, I need to be heard. My voice needs to be heard. It's like, no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. No, guess what, Chelsea? Like, you don't, he asked you not to do something. You know, you needed to find a better time to talk to him about it. You needed to control, you need to be mature enough to control your temper mm-hmm. and control what comes out of your mouth. And if yeah. you can't, then you shouldn't be married. So.
Yeah. Well, another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I just say it's all a bridge too far, broke trust. Oh yeah. And Chelsea and her tit for tat stuff. Yes, it all reminds me why these two aren't going to work. Okay, let's go to the heartbreak number two.
Well, first we have a bachelor and a bachelorette party.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And the bachelorette party looked like a lot of fun. I don't know what there is to say about any of this.
I mean, it looked good. They all have really attractive friends. So that's what I was thinking. Like, God, Clay's friends are attractive. AD's friends are attractive. I'm like, these are the most attractive people. Amy's friends are attractive. I'm like, this is good looking people. But the bachelor party seemed kind of lame. Like, I really hope they did something else. You guys don't have any other friends?
Well, I think a lot of those people at the bachelorette party maybe been extras or something. But yeah, they were trying to make the bachelorette party look like a fun time. And then the bachelor party is like more serious. They're kind of talking bro talk and whatever. I think because, you know, they can't really have a true bachelor party objectifying women and, you know, and stuff like that. So, but it was funny because Amy, she's insisting to AD that she and Johnny are not.
That's right.
AD off, you know, to the side, she's like, she fucking that man. She does not believe it.
Yeah. What do you think? I think they're doing it. I find it hard to believe that they've made it this far and they're just like taking it slow.
No, what are they doing? Heavy petting, third base?
No.
I thought I heard that she was on a podcast or on an Instagram live or something explaining that they were having sex and they were using condoms, but that's not enough for Johnny, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was just a little interstitial there. So first is AD and Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really upped the, you know, the little bridal suite, you know, before. I thought it was the biggest charcuterie board I'd ever seen in my life. So much food on it.
Yeah.
Who's gonna eat all that food?
Yeah, there was more of like this time around, there were gates and there were people holding the gates and there were paintings and there were like whole flower walls.
Right.
And there was a lot more, a lot more of that. Yes, a lot. Their decor budget went up.
Yeah.
For Love is Blind.
So she's there and she's just so happy. So happy. And, you know, her mom and her sisters come in and her little nieces and so, you know, it's just happy. She's getting her hair done, you know, all that, all that pre whatever.
Yeah.
And then Clay, is also, you know, comes in and his buddies are there and were his buddies there in the pre-wedding suite thing? I can't remember. All I can remember is Clay's dad shows up.
Yeah, let's just get to Trevor.
Yeah, I don't remember
because Trevor's fascinating.
That happened, like right before that. Trevor, Clay's dad shows up and wow. This is a lot.
Yes, it was a lot.
So he starts out by, you know, they're greeting each other and happy, blah, blah, blah. And Trevor helps Clay put his coat on. And, you know, they're using words like, oh, you look so clean and you're so suave. And, you know, it's all about, you know, because that's what Clay told us like day one, you know, that his father was really suave and he kind of emulated him. And so we're seeing this guy who's supposed to be so smooth.
I thought he was before he opened his mouth. I was like, oh, he is cute. He is smooth.
Yeah.
You know, he is. And then he started talking and I was like, oh,
exactly. Yes. So he kind of makes it about him.
Yeah.
He talks about how he took Clay out running because they're both track and field stars. Mm-hmm. You know, took Clay out running when he was little. And I had a epiphany here. I bet you that these infidelity trips were like track meets.
Oh, you're probably right.
You know, out of town track mm-hmm. meets. Because if you're at that level, you know, going out of town all the time for these meets. So mm-hmm. he says, you know, but then one day, you know, Clay beat him. Mm-hmm. Was able to beat him, took him to another level. And then he starts listing off how he, Trevor, was high school All-American, college All-American, U.S. Olympic teams. I didn't have time to look up if he was actually ever on the U.S. Olympic team. But
yeah,
I kind of feel like we would have heard about that already. And then he talks about how at the Melrose Games, whatever that is, he pulled his hamstring and that was the end of that. And then he started living vicariously through Clay, and the whole time Clay is just like going, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like a little boy.
Yeah, you know? He adores. I just wrote down like, God, he really adores his father. He yeah. really is like, he's a hero to him.
Yeah. I mean, he just kind of melts with him. You know, mm-hmm. like you don't see any, not even a twinge of like anger or resentment, despite what this man has put him through, put mm-hmm. his family through, put his mother through. And all of that. And then Trevor turns to how he says he tried to give his kids what he didn't get from his father, mm-hmm. that his father wasn't present. And ironically, he said that his mother told him, treat your wife well and be good to your kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, dude, do you not think that your, you know, 20 years of infidelity is coming out on this show? Maybe he mm-hmm. didn't. Maybe he had no idea that Clay was going to talk about this.
Yeah. I mean, and it was very interesting. And when you think about the conversation that happens later, mm-hmm. right, with Margarita and mm-hmm. Trevor, because at that time, what he said, you know, well, loving my kids, that came naturally. And I'm like, question mark, exclamation point. Like, what? How did that come? That's not love. Like what? And so it's this weird thing where the father, it's almost like, well, my dad wasn't around. So because I actually showed up, yeah. I showed up and I'm around. So therefore that automatically means that yeah. I am a better father and I love you. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. I have to say from experience, I know that some men like that, that's how they feel. Like mm-hmm. if you grow up without a father, just the fact that you participate in your children's life automatically makes you feel like, well, I'm doing it. I'm being yeah. a father.
Yeah.
But you're really not. You're just kind of there.
Yeah. And well, perhaps if Clay's father wasn't around at all, maybe he would feel differently about some of these things. I mean, that's the piece of it. Is mm-hmm. it better to have, this is this whole argument about parents, right? Is it better for parents to stay in a loveless marriage just to stay together for the kids? Or is it better for the parents to split up? I mean, it's the same thing. Is it better to be a single mom with all the love in the world than two parents that are kind of in and out, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that it would have been better if the dad wasn't around. Like, I think that those trips and what happened to him, it's mm-hmm. it's almost like it was this thing that was deep down inside of him. Like it happened. And I think Clay has always had it there. And all of this just brought it.
Oh yeah.
All to the surface.
And that is a horrible wound.
Yes.
To watch your father cheat on your mother and then you can't tell her and being in the middle, and he's just this little kid. Every time I think of that, and I just think of little Clay, I'm just like, that's why I can't really get too upset with him. Mm-hmm. I just feel so badly for him. And at least now I know he has the awareness of that, and maybe that's a positive from being on the show. I think I felt like he walked away feeling super aware and clear mm-hmm. that this is his thing, and he's going to have to really work on this. Yeah. And, you know, if he follows through with that, and he does, I think he'll be okay. But it's child abuse.
Yeah. Well, and then Clay says, oh, my father's never really talked to him like this before. We haven't really even talked this much before. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. I mean, obviously they've edited the piece, but that's not a lot. Like, this is the most you've ever spoken to your father. So now we're back to, okay, so maybe you went to the track meets and maybe you cheered him on and maybe mm-hmm. you raced with him, but it sounds like you didn't ever have long conversations with him.
No.
And but Clay talks a lot about this idea of the gray area, right? Yeah. Black and white and gray. I think my interpretation is this. I think that Clay, in some ways, Clay is a 30-year-old. And in other ways, Clay is a 15, 16-year-old boy. He is that kid that was going to the meets with dad mm-hmm. and dad is cheating. Mm-hmm. And I think that the piece for him is that the issue with his father was, I love my father. So if I'm angry at my father, if I'm resentful towards my father for what he did, does that mean that I don't love him? I think that mm-hmm. the 15-year-old young piece of Clay, who's very, and young people, we all know this, like when you're young, everything's black and white. Everything's one or the other. You're in or you're out. And it's not until as you get older and older and older, you gain a lot of perspective and you realize, and you go through things and you watch people go through things and you realize that nobody is ever just one thing, that there are many things and we can be good in some ways and not so great in others. And we can hurt people and we can do it intentionally, even though we don't want to. So I think that Clay could not wrap his brain around how to feel about his father.
But so, he was saying that this gray area was within regard to marriage. He said gray area in marriage.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. I think that the gray area for him is not knowing what it really means to be married. I think in his mind, right. I think he always thought about marriage as marriage means that you don't cheat, you don't do this, you don't do that. Yet he has no, like, the institution of marriage mm-hmm. says you don't cheat. But then he has all these examples over here of cheating. And they seem
to be, they had a long marriage where they produced children. And
I think he loves his mother.
Happy times.
Yeah. And he loves and cares about his mother. And I think he sees that, absolutely my mom's a special woman. Why wouldn't my dad want to be with her and all of these things? And I think that's the part that he was really struggling with. I think he thinks that either I need to be the only way marriage will work is if you're so in love with this person and you're never tempted and you're never any of these things, and that's just how it's going to be. And then you're together forever, or, you can't stay faithful and you cheat. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that he didn't really have any examples in front of him of men or people who would turn to him and say, hey, I've been married for a long time. And sure, I might see someone who's attractive or I might have thoughts, but I don't act on them. And this is mm-hmm. why. Like, he just doesn't have that kind of guidance. I think he's so black and white on, so if you're married, you never think about other women kind of thing. It's mm-hmm. like, no, you right. can. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, how do you manage those feelings? How do you right. deal with those feelings? What's the bigger picture for you?
Right.
And I think that Clay came into this thinking, okay, feeling confused about relationships. And I think he came and signed up for the show thinking, okay, this will help me figure this out. This will get me from point A to point B. And then he met AD, and I think he started to realize, like, she kept talking to him. And I think he realized, like, oh, there's so many facets to all of this. And there's so many facets to me as a person. And it's not so black and white. Mm-hmm. That's how I think about
it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
This relationship between Clay and his dad is very troubled.
Yeah. And then the dad gives him a bunch of fortune cookie advice.
Yeah.
Rise to the strong and ba 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 and do 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 do. And
if you think you've lost, you'll lose.
Yeah. but that's not, and Clay talks in a lot of that. And that none of that is helpful to anybody. Yeah. And I think that's confusing to Clay. Because Clay will tell people that say that stuff to them, thinking, oh, aren't I answering your question? It's like, no, you're not. You're just talking. But one thing that really frustrated me is Clay did say, I have a lot of questions for my father. Like, you know, what were you, I think he wants to ask, like, did you, when you were cheating on mom, did you love her still? Like, what did you say to yourself? I think he really wanted to know, but he didn't ask those questions.
Well, I don't know if this is the best
time. Yeah, I don't think it is either, but I think that's the problem.
Well, that's what needs to happen.
That's what needs to happen.
But also Clay's father needs to be willing to engage in that conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to be.
Yeah. But
he seems kind of pretty much in denial. And then later, the stuff that he says to his ex-wife, you know, it's like, dude.
Yeah.
God, will you ever get it? Like, I really think that I think he has no idea that his cheating is going to be on this show.
Oh,
and I think he was very surprised today.
Yep.
I think today,
for the last month, Clay has been talking about this from day one.
Ever since the show started. I think he had no clue. He was walking in there thinking, oh, I'm going to come in here. I'm the best dad. I'm going to give him some advice, tell him how, you know, great we all are. And it's going to be wonderful. And he didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know.
Yeah. Oh my God. AD in that dress.
Oh, stunning.
Holy moly. I was ready to marry her. Oh my God. God, I mean, that was within an inch. I mean, just perfect. Whoever tailored that
perfect
was she looked gorgeous. And so I was still going back and forth with Clay at that moment. I'm like, oh, God damn, he's going to see her in that dress. And he's going to say yes. Mm-hmm. I thought that would be enough. She looked incredible. Incredible. She really did.
The ceremony starts, you know, she's coming down the aisle. She walked herself down the aisle, which I thought was interesting.
I was surprised that she wouldn't do it with her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her mom looked very nervous.
Yes.
She looked very nervous and scared during that ceremony. And so, of course, Clay sees her and he's just like, wow. And, you know, of course, she says, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I was hoping there for a minute because Clay was just beaming, you know.
Yeah.
He was beaming. He was so happy. They just, the energy between them, I'm like, oh my God, how could you say no? But he did. It was shocking. I was kind of shocked. I kind of, you know, all of a sudden I was on this bandwagon.
I wanted it too. I've been saying the whole time I didn't think they would ever get married. Like, I didn't think it was good. I didn't think they'd get married. And in that moment leading up to that, I was like, oh, their mothers love each other. Like, this is great. Oh my God, I can see this now. And I, like a gut punch.
It was just a gut punch.
What? And AD, oh God, she's just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, but I want you to know that I'm rocking with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning he wants to just continue to date her. And she already told him, no, not going to do that. You know, he says he's not ready for marriage. And yeah, I get that. But it was just still shocking.
Yeah. And that's the part where I do feel for, you know, Clay and Jimmy in these moments, which is this. I think that Jimmy did the right thing. Mm. I think Clay did the right thing for himself and AD. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they both did the right thing and what is best for them. And again, this goes back to the show. Is it better to do what Jimmy did? And should Clay have, when he knew that he was not ready to get married, and she said, this is what needs to happen. You know, should he have said, hey, I can't go through this with this. I know for a fact right now I'm not ready to get married. It's not going to change in a couple weeks. You know, is that the responsible thing? Would that have been better?
Yeah.
Or would it have been better? Yeah, I don't know. I really don't.
I don't know. I think the way Jimmy did it, I think, you know, it's not good for the show. The show wants the wedding and the drama and all that. But as far as like, I mean, if obviously it's better to be dumped at, you know, a theme park, an empty theme park.
Yes.
Than to be dumped at the altar where your whole family is there and all your friends and you're all dressed up. And you're all excited. So I would prefer the theme park dumping myself.
Yes, me too. I maybe even the kitchen one with Brittany and Kenneth. I think I would have preferred the we're back for 1 week in the kitchen being dumped.
Yeah.
But
so she walks out with her family. Clay's mom gives her a hug before she walks out with her family. And, you know, she's back in the bridal suite and she's just sobbing. And, you know, God, and her two little young nieces are standing there watching this. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, what are they thinking? This must, you know what I'm saying? This, this feels like this could be a real scarring event for them.
Yeah.
Psych Legal Pop will be right back after these messages.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You know, because in our society, we're still so focused on, you know, women getting married and young girls, you know, dreaming about it. And like, they have to watch this. It's like,
that was hard.
That was hard to see.
Yeah. And then when AD said, when she started crying and says, I'm never enough. And it's like, oh, God, no, AD, you are enough. You are more than enough.
Yeah, they
AD,
were all saying,
it's got nothing
no,
to do with
enough.
You.
He's not enough. You know, it's
which is true.
Are not enough.
I mean, Clay is enough, but right now he's not enough
right,
to be married.
Right, for this task, yes. he's not enough. He's
but
not
you are
there
enough.
Yet.
AD, if you're listening to this, you are enough. Hopefully, she's... I'm really curious if she and Clay are dating now. I really wonder.
I am too, but also I was thinking to myself, do you know how many men are going to be contacting her now?
But I mean, you know, like...
Hopefully they're not good ones, not creepy guys. No, but here's the thing. AD has a type. Mm-hmm. If she really wants what she says she wants, she's going to have to break out of that type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she does. She admits it. She's like a fixer. She's a fixer upper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she gets these men and that's what she's attracted to. And that's why, you know, if what's his name from the pods?
Matthew.
If Matthew hadn't turned out, if he hadn't been like telling that other girl the exact same thing and he was a good guy, I don't know. I think she would have stuck with him. She seemed desperate to break out of her mold of men.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They might not be as suave as Clay. They might not be as fine as Clay. But if you really want all these things, then you have to start looking at other things. And, you know, that's just reality.
Yeah. Yeah. But Clay was never, I mean, I don't know. I want to believe that when he signed up for the show that he felt like he thought he was ready for marriage, but he, you know, I don't know. And I wonder if that lingered in the back of his mind. I think maybe he thought like, oh, this is it's a TV show. It's a game. So I'll just go on there and then I'll just kind of play it by ear. But AD told you pretty early on that this wasn't a game for her. So,
yeah. And I kept thinking, well, why did you come on the show? You know, when he kept saying, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. It's like, well, when did you realize that? Mm-hmm. Did you realize that during the filming of this show? I mean, because if you had your doubts, why'd you come on the show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, and then there's all of this stuff that happens where, you know, Is this the part where Trevor, like he, Clay is outside and AD's in her room, and then Clay's like, well, I want to go talk to her. I think I need to talk to her. Should I go talk to her? He's talking to Dad. And Dad says, oh yeah, go talk to her. You don't want to appear indifferent. That was his comment. You don't want to appear indifferent. I'm like, I don't think he knew what he was saying, but I was like, it's pretty telling. It's a little Freudian there, Trevor.
Yeah.
Very Freudian.
It was weird. So then Clay's parents have their own little one-on-one time.
Yes.
And so basically, you know, Margarita tells Trevor that his infidelity caused Clay to, so he must have known at this point, at least when this was filming, that this was an issue, because she says that his infidelity caused Clay to struggle with marriage and commitment. And then Trevor, you know, he shifts it back to his father, you know, and well, you know, I guess it's like an excuse, and she stops him. And she says, you know, even though these infidelity trips were news to her, she says, this is about Clay. And that even though they come from broken families, that doesn't mean they have to pass it on to their kids. And then this, hands down, was the best line of the night. Trevor says something like, well, you know, Clay should meet someone like you. And she says, yeah, but you met me, but you wasn't good to me.
Yep. Yeah, I wrote that down too. That's true. Margarita was the, she is the MVP of this episode, because, and good for her. And she did it. Yeah. And she was so, you know, like so clear, so calm, but very much, because you could tell she's done a lot of work on herself.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I've forgiven you. You know, I'm not wasting any more time with you, but you have to take some ownership and some responsibility for the fact that you made marriage look awful to him. And you need to apologize, because our child needs closure. Our child needs some kind of
something. He's in pain.
Yeah. And he needs you to take accountability.
You, Trevor. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I almost felt like there should have been a family therapy session there. It would have been like the perfect opportunity. Like, let's get everyone together here. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. And the dad, again, he feels so justified in his behavior. And that's the part that I'm not understanding. Is Trevor indifferent? Does he not get it? Does he not see the impact of it? Because it feels like he feels totally justified to do what he did, because, well, I was hanging out with him when I was cheating on you. Like, I was spending time with him. My dad, I barely talked to him. I didn't know him. He wasn't around. It's like, huh?
Yeah. What? I think he does not want to go there.
No. Oh, no.
He does not want to go there. He does not want to look at himself. He does not want to, even for his son's sake, you know, he's not going to do it.
I mean, maybe. I think what needs to happen now is Clay definitely needs to call a therapist. Hopefully he did that Monday after the wedding, after the non-wedding. And I think he needs to get into intensive therapy and go to therapy every week and give it some time and work on all these things. And when he's ready, he can talk to his dad about it. His dad may or may not give him the answer he's looking for, but at some point he needs to be able to get to a point with his father. And I think that's the piece of it is I think Clay loves and worships his father. It's almost like, don't meet your heroes. I think he's been a hero. And I think that if he admits to himself that my father did this awful thing and this is how it affected me and this is how it continues to affect me, then therefore I can't put you up on this pedestal anymore, Dad. And I have to see you as human. And that's hard. And a lot of people don't want to see their parents that way.
Yeah, no, because then what, you know?
Yeah.
No, this is very painful. Ugh. And hopefully this generational trauma can end with Clay and he can, you know, get into a good relationship and whatever. I like Clay. He's
I do too. He just needs it. He has a lot of growing up to do.
It's a lot, yeah.
And poor AD, she feels like she was used to help Clay feel and grow as a person. And she's like, that's why does this keep happening? And I, we all said this too. I feel like AD's got to take some ownership too of the fact that you spotted this about him. You had reservations about him. It wasn't until your other picks were gone that you suddenly turned your attention back to him. Like you felt like AD should have left. Like AD, you know, AD, this, none of these men that she was meeting were right. And she really wanted to get married.
She has just as much responsibility to change her patterns as Clay has to change his patterns. Yeah. And, you know, it's just all complicated, you know, I mean,
it is. Oh God. And then that was a huge chunk of the episode. I was like, God, I'm emotionally drained.
Yeah.
I got another wedding here. I'm like these. And I was, then I started to become nervous with for their wedding. I'm like, I can't believe anything anymore.
Oh, I wasn't nervous. No. I mean, these two, when you think about it throughout this entire show, not once did these two even have anything, at least that we saw. And I'm sure we would have seen it if there was something. Nothing that resembled any kind of disagreement. Not even like getting on each other's nerves or nothing. I mean, these two have just been blissfully happy. You know, I don't know what to say. This is all just happy with the families.
So Johnny's parents are divorced. It was a little confusing because he said they were, I thought they were together. And then they said, and then Johnny said something like, and the two of you had, he said it in past tense. The two of you had many wonderful years together, 24 years together. I don't know what the length of time. I was like, are they divorced now? Did I just miss that? Okay. Maybe I should go back and look. I just, when I heard that, I was like, did I miss something? Because I thought they were together.
But, I thought they were too. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Because they're talking about, you know, his dad says how marriage will be the hardest but most fun job you'll ever have. And then they had a group hug. So, I didn't get the sense that they were.
No, maybe I got that wrong. And then, you know, Amy's dad, of course, is, you know, makes another speech. He's great with these talks. And he says he approves of Johnny because of how Johnny looks at Amy. He says, I feel good. I was unsure about all of this. I was unsure about you going on the show, but I feel good about this and I'm, you know, I'm good. And then she had her dad and her brother walk her down the aisle, which was so I was like, oh, that's so sweet and so interesting. And
And she told her brother, you know, I've got your back. I love you. And
there was not much to say. Yeah. Amy says yes. And then there was a pause and I was like, oh God, Johnny, please. And then Johnny says yes. And I was like, oh, phew. Whew.
Yeah.
I'm so thank you. I needed this. And that's why it was funny at first, because I thought we would see Johnny and Amy's wedding first. And I thought Clay and AD would be the last one. But it makes sense. Like, they were like, we got to leave you on a high, people. We got to leave you on a high note. Yeah,
we can't leave on that. No. No. And this, it was a beautiful wedding. I loved I thought the flowers were beautiful. And it was a family affair. There was so much family. It was Johnny's sister's fiance married them.
And those siblings look just like Johnny, especially the brother. The brother looks just like a little mini Johnny. It's very cute.
And then when David, you know, gives her to Johnny at the altar, he says, I'm giving my treasure to you. Oh, my God. Can this get any more syrupy sweet? I don't think it can. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say. They have zero doubts. Everything is the kissing and happy and I mean, I just dancing, partying. I mean, all of it. I don't know what else to say.
There's nothing to say. I mean, it was very interesting. Johnny said, he did say towards the end, he said, you know, if I saw Amy at a bar, I would never have the guts to go talk to her. Like, I would think that she was out of my league. And I think that is, you know, I think what's so hard is there are a lot of men out there that are very sweet and very like would make great husbands and great partners who are just, they're not players. They're not like they won't approach women. They, you know, they don't have that in them. And so I think that's why this experiment in some ways is really nice. Like it is that nice piece of it. The flaw is the fact that they have to get engaged before they see each other, you know? And I understand that love is blind and they're erasing that, but that's, I think, a bit of the problem is this combination of how quickly everything moves. And, you know, obviously anytime you know, we've got too many people wanting to be influencers, but I just think that they need to change up the formula a little bit and see what happens. Cause now this is the second season in a row where only one person's gotten married and everything's been quite a disaster.
But when you look at the past seasons of where more than one couple got married, how many are still married? I mean, I would rather have one really solid, successful couple that stays together forever out of this, you know, than like a few kind of people where you're like, you know, 2, 3, 4 couples where you're like, you know, I mean, really, they proved what you just said, Amy and Johnny, they really proved the premise of the show. You know, like you said, he never would have approached her in real life. And she said she never would have approached him in real life. Cause she always had like these like dark haired, brown skinned men. And you know, they generally pick people for these shows who are attractive.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're going to pick. I mean, yeah, sometimes people don't hit it off with the chemistry or whatever, but I don't know. This made me believe in the show again. I've been bagging on the show about how it's jumped the shark and this and that. But now I'm like, no, I'm in.
Yeah.
They've just got to screen better. You know what they need to do? They need to, you know, get a bunch of middle-aged women to investigate these people
before
the show and go all over social media, research everything.
Yeah.
And find out. Because, yeah, how hard is it to just Google these people, go on their social media? I mean, you can see if they're in a relationship or not.
Yeah. Well, I saw this article on Elite Daily about like how season 6 has been plagued with issues. And we know all about like Jeremy's fiance and what was the other one? Trevor and Trevor's girlfriend. But there were some that I didn't know about, like that Matthew, apparently, who I guess will be at the reunion. He claims that he had all these editing allegations. Like he's mad because he feels like he was edited poorly. But his reason behind it made no sense. He was like, well, you know, I was sober. I had stopped drinking. So that's why I was so awkward with the women. And he felt like that's why he couldn't connect. And I'm like, but how does that have to do anything with editing, Matthew? Like, he feels like he's got some vindication that he wants to make, apparently, when he comes to the reunion. And then the other thing is Amber, who was the person that he was like with AD. Apparently she had a secret boyfriend. Apparently she hid all of the pictures with the boyfriend prior to going on the show, or maybe when she got on the show or something.
Well, maybe that's what people, they must scrub their social media.
Yeah, they must do that.
So before they go through the interview process, and because, I mean, I'm sure these producers are trying to screen people, but yeah, they scrub it. But you know, you could dig a little deeper. You could get someone.
Well, you're back to the same problem. Like, it's you have to pick people, you have to pick singles all in this one city. They have to be attractive. And if you're a young, attractive single in this big city, you know, I don't know. God, does everyone want to be an influencer? I mean, is there anyone out there that doesn't? It just seems
I feel like most of these people worked in sales and tech, and some of them had, you know, more traditional jobs. I was looking at the whole cast. A lot of these people we never even see. But I mean, like there's a guy who's a lawyer, you know, there's a guy who's a, you know, real estate person. I mean, they do have people with normal jobs, but somehow, it feels like the people who want to be Instagram famous or, you know, whatever, they end up like making it to the final.
Yeah. Well, and that Jessica, did you see the pictures of her? So Jessica, who I guess isn't as heartbroken as we all thought she was, is with some guy who's from some other Netflix show, who's very cute. And they've got all these photos of them and they look so like they called the paparazzi to tell them to come because they're in bikinis right now. But apparently he's a huge player. And it's like, okay, Jessica, please, then give me a break. How do we believe anything you're saying now? Because if you're dating this guy, then he's not exactly dad material for your, you know, it's ridiculous.
Right.
So anywho, well, that's that. Well, it's not the end. We still have the reunion.
We have the reunion, which is going to be quite interesting. Can't wait for that.
Did you have our predictions? Where did we leave off? I think we both said yes to Johnny and Amy, but I think I said no to Clay. And I said no.
You got that one right.
What about the Jimmy Chelsea one? Because I felt like it was going to be Jimmy that was going to reject her. Did I say that?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
I can't remember if we said that they were both going to say yes just to say yes, or if anyone was going to say no, it'd be Johnny. You know, never
Jimmy.
Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy. Jesus. Chelsea was going to say yes, but Jimmy was a bit of a wild card.
Yeah.
But he had a better chance of saying yes than Clay.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. No, I did think he had a better chance after, you know what it was? I think after that fight, after he forgave her for that one fight, I was like, okay, well, I guess he's going all the way because I really felt like if he wasn't going to say no, then.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what this was all about. Maybe he spent the last 2 weeks like just, oh my God, I said yes. I said yes. I've got to say no. I've got to say no. And he just couldn't wait. I don't know.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Jimmy, he's very, you know, at first I thought he was kind of one of these like kind of obnoxious guys. He's really not. He's actually very, I think he's very polite. You know, he doesn't like get real riled up. He doesn't get upset. You know, like she'd be yelling in his face and everything, and he's just like keeping his composure and calm and cool. And so it just it snuck up on us because he just kept taking it from her. And so we're like, well, okay, I guess he really loves her and he's okay with this. But no, he wasn't okay with it. He just wasn't like blowing up about it.
God, just emotionally drained by Love is Blind. But it is such a good show. I'm like, when is it coming back? Like, when? Can we just have the show filming all the time?
Yes. They need to have it just come out back to back to back.
Yeah.
I hope they're filming the next one. Hurry up, Netflix. We'll be back next week, next Thursday, to review the
reunion. I keep saying finale, but the reunion. Yes.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk about the reunion and then we're going to move on to new stuff.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this podcast and you haven't already, if you could give us a 5-star rating and review, it really does help us and helps grow the podcast and get people to us and spread the word, share it with friends if you like us and like our takes on things. We are on social media at Psych Legal Pop on TikTok and Instagram. And subscribe to the podcast. I think that's it.
Covered it.
Yeah. All right. We said it all. I mentioned it all. We mentioned it all. All right. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.